This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, because I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, because of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Free.
Independence Day. We are free. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel so free. I feel like there are restrictions all the way around and things, decisions are being made. And in the business world especially, I just feel like, wow, things are changing and not always for our better. So what do you do when you're feeling like this? I don't know if you can relate or not. Probably, maybe not on a business world, but maybe, you know, decisions are being made politically, just all the way around. And a lot of the times we're thinking, gosh, do I really have a say? Do I have a say in this? In our country, we're supposed to be free. Free to do what? So the reason I bring this up is because Independence Day just happened. How was your 4th? Was it what you wanted? Did you have a wonderful 4th of July? Did you get to celebrate the freedoms that so many people have died for us to protect our freedoms? And I feel that some of our freedoms as Christians are being taken away, and it's kind of sad. So today I'm going to talk about sometimes God has a better idea. And this is from Rick Warren, one of my favorites, from May 21st, 2014. And there are so many things happening, you know, and when I'm on this show, I always am asking, you know, what Lord, do you want to be talked about? What is it? What is the subject matter that you want me to bring forthright and upfront? And when I'm living my life, just as you're living your life, do you ask yourself the question, what's the lesson, Lord? What is it you want me to learn in this situation? And I love visual pictures, you know, the vision, you know, where you can get a picture in your mind. And when I was thinking about the topic for today, it was so funny, but not really. It was funny for me, but not really. I was coming into the KKLA radio station, and we are in a parking structure. And there was a big van in front of me. Now, when you're entering a parking structure, if you have a car, you don't really give this much thought. But if you're in a tall vehicle, you need to give it thought because there is a cap to the height of your vehicle that can enter in a parking structure, right? So I'm looking at the sign. It says nine feet something, you know, don't exceed 9 feet something. And this van pulls in, you know, the toll thing, you push the button, you get your ticket, and you start coming in. And we were doing fine at first, and I was following this van. And all of a sudden, I realized that it was getting tighter and tighter and tighter, meaning the ceiling seemed to be getting shorter, and the van was getting closer and closer to the cement roof until I could see that it was scraping. And I'm like, oh, my word. And I was thinking, oh, are they going to keep going? Are they going to stop? What are they going to do? And this happened, almost happened to me this last week because I went to San Diego and I have this little tiny traveling office. It's a motorhome, but it's very small, tiny. And it has a height restriction. And I was supposed to go to this radio station at KPRZ in San Diego. Welcome, San Diegans, for joining in. And the gentleman that was on the phone with me, he says, no, just pull in. I'm like, I can't. There's this sign that says 9.5, and I think mine was just a little higher than that, and I didn't want to knock off my air conditioner, my satellite dish, or whatever else is up there. I don't even know what's up there. So I'm thinking, I can't go in there. And he goes, no, there's nothing. And I said, no, there is something. I'm staring at it right now. And he started laughing because he realized that, you know, it's not something he's ever paid attention to because he never needed to. So what's the lesson in that? There is a lesson, isn't there? The lesson is not we don't always know, or we don't pay attention to things that are outside of our realm of consideration. But sometimes our realm might be too small. It might be smaller than really where we're at. And we are our own restriction. We are holding ourselves back from expanding upon what could be. In the situation with this van, I was thinking, gosh, what would I do if I was in that situation? And I quickly thought of letting air out of the tires, because what is that going to do? It's going to bring the top down. So there are solutions to situations, and we have to be looking for those. God gave us each a brain, didn't he? He gave us a brain so that we can think and we can plan. But he also wants us to let him, let his purpose be known. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 19:21 in the NIV version. So have you noticed that things don't always turn out the way you want them to? That sometimes God has a better plan or a better idea. Right now in my personal life, I am looking at selling a property that I'm living in and purchasing something else. And I'm asking God, God, where do you want me to live? What do you want this facility, this home, to provide? It's not just for a roof over my head, because everything that I have is his. And I want it to minister. I want to have a place of ministry. I want to be able to, you know, help people any way I can. People in my family say there are no stray people and there are no stray animals when Sue's around, because I like to be able to have, it's nice to be able to have a facility where I can help if need be. And I say that because each of us has gifts, talents, you know, and opportunities to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with, to be asking God, what do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? And I love that question. And if for anything else, if you don't remember anything else from the show, I want you just to remember to ask God that question. What do you want me to do? Because he is the designer. It's his purpose, not our purpose, that we are living this life for. At least for me, that's true. You know, check out your soul. Check out your life. Check out where you spend your money. Treasures of the heart. Just check all those things out to find out where you are. Is that where you are? The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's okay to make your plans, but remember that life is unpredictable. And God says we shouldn't presume on it. On the other hand, we shouldn't worry about it because God is in control. So we can make plans. We need to ask God for it to be his plan. And he tells us not to worry. So let me ask you, do you worry? I have to tell you that there are times when I worry and I have to check myself. Be anxious for nothing, he says. He says, be anxious for nothing, right? Be thankful in all things, but be anxious for nothing. James 4 tells us the proper attitude to have. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why? You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. James is saying it's okay to make plans, but just realize that ultimately God has the final word. So it is okay to make plans, but understand that those plans can change. Just like for me, I'm looking for a home. I kind of know what I want, what's comfortable for me. I know what would make me feel blessed and make me feel at peace and in harmony in my own living condition. But is that God's plan? Is that what he wants for my life? Does he want me to live in this city, that city? You know, does he want it to be convenient for driving time, or does he want me to drive further because there is a reason for me to be somewhere else? So it has to be what he wants me to do, not what I want. Hopefully they're in alignment. But sometimes he has a better plan. And I know some of you are saying, yep, I know. There's so many times I prayed for this or that, and then something else happens and you're going, wow, that was much better. I'm glad he didn't listen to my prayer, because there was something better for me that he wanted for me. And I love when that happens, and maybe that's encouraging to you. Maybe you're in a position right now where that is encouraging, because you've been praying and praying and praying and things aren't going the way you want. But God has a better plan. So stay true to his plan and keep asking him every day, what do you want me to do? And stay on that road. The right attitude is to always keep your plans submitted to God. Make your plans, but say, God, if this is what you want, this is the direction I'm going to go. I'm doing this with flexible faith. So I had a listener who connected with me and said, and I mentioned this last week, that they said that my show is a little bit too much self-help. and not enough holiness. And I'm like questioning that within myself. Okay, is there any truth to that? Because I take criticism as being constructive. I'm not going to think of that as being judgmental. I'm going to think of it as, if there's any truth to it, what can I do to make that better? Or, you know, if it's just this person's having an issue, how can I help that person? So I invited this person for coffee. They haven't taken me up on it. Her name is Jan. So if you're listening, Jan, I'm still open. But the thing is that Jan was telling me that she felt that God wasn't wanting us to be desiring more or to be going after financial gain and success. You know, we're not supposed to be going after that. The success should be in our holiness. And I don't know if it's one or the other. I think that there's a need for both. You know, churches need money to keep going. You know, you go into the restroom and use toilet paper. Well, that toilet paper costs money. So let's just get down to the nitty gritty of it, is that churches have to be financially stable or they can't keep functioning to open up their doors with air conditioning or heating so that people can come and worship the Lord. So it's important that we understand the big picture on this. Proverbs 16:9 says, we should make our plans counting on God to direct us. How do you do that? By praying. When you get up in the morning and have your quiet time, say, God, what do you want to do with this day? It's His day, isn't it? It's not our day, it's His day. Then when interruptions come, you'll remember God is in control. It will dramatically lower the frustration level in your life. As you remember, it is not all up to you. There are so many times where I have a list. I like to have lists, and I like to check off my list. How about you? But in the working of the day, there are monkeys that jump on my back. I can accept them or not, but I say, okay, if this is a monkey that I have to accept because I am the proper person to handle this, then I have to stop what I'm doing because God has an appointment for me. Now, there are times, prioritizing and understanding my gifts, just like you need to, I suggest that you understand what your gifts are, that when you're prioritizing, people come first. God comes first, but people come first over things, right? So as you're going through your day, if there is an interruption, you can ask yourself, is this an interruption that I'm supposed to take? Or is there somebody else that would be better suited to handle this interruption? And that is a really good question to ask. But if God made an appointment for you, it would be best for you to take it, wouldn't it? If you're tuning in right now and it's your first time, I just thank you for finding us. It's no coincidence, I don't think. And if you're a regular listener, either way, understand that you can go to Sue Fries, spelled like fries, oneword.com. What do you get when you go there? I like free things. I don't know about you, but I like to give back and I like to give to you. If and when you go there, I'm going to believe positively that you are going to go there. But Sue Fries, spelled like fries, oneword.com. Go there. And there's different little buttons there. And even if you scroll down, there's even more things like Sue Fries TV. There's videos. There's all kinds of fun things there that you can learn from. And I'm hoping that it inspires you and encourages you. And there might be somebody that you know that needs inspiration or encouraging. I know that I don't believe we get enough of that. And so I want to be that with God's help. It's Him through me that makes this happen. The second button on there, though, is one that I think the most highly of. And it's one on the new I Ams. And I think it's very important that I just take a little side note commercial to let you know about it, because it can change your life. If you're not happy currently with your situation, with your life, and you're looking for, you know, I remember looking up to God and crying out to God and saying, God, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do and I would do it. I just need to know what to do. And what you can do is read your scriptures, read your Bible, memorize them, get them in your brain, get them in your heart so that you can lean on them when you need them. Because things come at us when we're not expecting or when we're expecting, and we need to have a strength with our shield, full body shield, to protect us from all this evil that comes in our lives or comes and tries to throw darts at our heart. We need to understand that He is control and He will help us and guide us and get us through this tough time. And tomorrow's another day. Did you need to hear that? There's been so many times in my life I've needed to hear that. So when you go to Sue Fries, spelled like fries, oneword.com, you go to the second button, you push it. There's a video there of me talking to you, and it's explaining the process and explaining what this will do for you. And it's the I ams. It's who Christ says you are. Because our own voice, if we speak our own voice with the I ams, I am victorious, I'm a child of God, there are three pages of these that you can download for free, or you can go to this second tile and get the paid version where you can record your voice and you can get an MP3, you can get a CD, and you listen to these at least twice a day, in the morning and at night, in the privacy of your own, wherever, your quiet place. You listen to these and they will help you by renewing of your mind. They will change you from the inside out. And that's what we want. You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is how you do it, is that you have to understand who you are in Christ. You need to understand who you are. And I want to see others through Jesus's eyes. And I want other people to see me through Jesus's eyes. I really do, and I think it's so wonderful. So if the Lord wills, I'll tell you something right now, something I just heard. My daughter sent me a text yesterday morning when I first woke up, and she said, "Did you hear about Joanne?" I said, What? So I called her, and she goes, "Did you hear it?" I said, "No." She goes, "I'm going to send you a Facebook right now that explains what happened." I said, "Well, what happened?" And she says, "Joanne died." And I said, "What?" I mean, this girl, she's full of life. You know, she's just one of those vocal people that her voice and everything. I mean, I just still can hear her voice. And she's a hairdresser and she does all these things. And I actually gave her one of my dogs, and just a neat woman. And she is now gone as of June 27th. And I don't know if anybody really knows all the details. I know I don't know all the details, but they have a fund for me right now for the two kids that are left behind. And basically what I know is that it was 2 a.m. There was a man screaming, running down the street. Joanne and a couple of her friends ran outside to be a hero and to help. And something happened to where they actually tried to jump a fence. Joanne didn't make it over the fence. The other two people just ran and realized that Joanne wasn't behind them. They went back and found Joanne face down in the ground. And she wasn't breathing. So they called 911. The emergency people came, took her to the hospital, and she was pronounced dead on arrival. And nobody really knows all the details. But this is just crazy, isn't it? It's just crazy to have things like this happen. And it's like, why? Why? And we don't have the answers. We don't know why bad things happen to good people. We don't. But they do happen. Does God make them happen? I don't believe so. I don't believe. There's just bad people. And God gave us a choice, didn't he? He gave each and every one of us a choice. Otherwise, we would be an animal. We would be a monkey. We would be somebody else. But we have freedom of choice. And we have the freedom to choose what we're going to choose. And we have the freedom to choose if we're going to say, "God, what do you want me to do today?" So if the Lord wills, plans, activities, projects, all about the future. Tomorrow I will do this and that. At the such and such day, I will go there. On the so-and-so day of this month, I will start this job. Making plans and having a vision for the future has nothing wrong in itself. What is wrong, however, is to make plans that we do not submit to the Lord and for which we do not seek his approval. James 4:13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." And we don't know, do we? "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, and live, we will do this and that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." In making plans, there is very important if that should never be missed. If the Lord wills. It is not arrogant to make plans. What is arrogant is to behave like having total authority over the realization of these plans, like having authority over tomorrow. As we all know, none of us has such authority. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen when I leave this radio station. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I can make plans, as you can, but sometimes plans change, don't they, whether we like it or not? An example of good planning is given by Paul in Acts 18:21. There we find him in Ephesus, greeting the local believers on his way to Jerusalem. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must, by all means, keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." God willing. Right? We can make plans, but if it's God's will. I don't think I say that enough. How about you? Check yourself. Do you say that? Do you think that? If it's God's will? And again in 1 Corinthians 16:5-7 concerning the church of Corinth in this time. "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits." If the Lord permits, God willing, if the Lord wills, should accompany every plan we make. Every plan we make should be delivered to the hands of the Lord. He also has a plan for our life, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. "For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you all the days of your life." That is the scripture that I am leaning on so fervently right now. I just am leaning on that because I really don't know what he wants for my life, where he wants me to live. Does he want me to buy this house, that house? You know, I just don't know. So I am putting that in God's hand, and if it's his will, he's going to make it happen. Same with the children's ranch, the ranch for domestic violence, mother and children. I'm putting it all in his hands. There's a company that wants me to purchase them. And in acquisition, I'm looking at the numbers, and it makes sense. To some degree, there are some questions I have, and, you know, I have to do due diligence and do my homework, of course. And the plan is would this be a good move for both parties? I love win-wins. But all in all, it's God's will. I want to pursue his will, and is this right according to him? So I am trying to listen to Jan when she says, you know, that, you know, we can make plans and whatnot, but we need to be holy. And I think in thinking about God being center and that it needs to be his will, I think I've always done that. But verbally, I don't think I've outwardly said that, even though I've thought it. We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the termite lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola Termite and Pest Control.
And I'm Tyson Freeze, Sue's son, and also work at Ecola. I understand why Ecola is Southern California's number one alternative pest control company. As a child with asthma, my mother made it her number one priority to protect me from harmful chemicals and contaminants.
I wrote a book about it called Learning to Breathe, about a love without bounds and a fight I refuse to lose.
I'll always be thankful for my mom's love and strength during this struggle, which essentially saved my life. I'm proud knowing my mother and Ecola cares for our customers like my mom cared for me.
We are offering $100 off any termite work and $50 off pest control for new customers. Just call 877-332-BUGS for details. That's 877-332-BUGS.
or online at termitelady.com. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
Love you, Mom.
Ecola Termite and Pest Control, 877-332-BUGS.
You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, for sponsoring this show. And if you need or if you know somebody that needs information regarding asthma, respiratory issues, my book is available. Just go to SueFreeze, spelled like fries, one word.com. And I will write a little note in there and we will send it right out to you. So it's there for you and it's a big help. And those that have already purchased it, thank you so much. So I'm going to get right back into the show and about what God wills for your life. And we need to be thinking about that and verbally saying it. I think that that helps. And I think that's where I have not done that enough, God willing. I need to say that more. I need to realize that it is His will. And I'm desiring that all the time. I want to delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what He says. And His word is His word, and it's forever. And so we can lean and trust that His word is true today, tomorrow, and forever. Psalm 45 says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Ephesians, I love scriptures. I hope you do too. Ephesians 3:20-21. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Do you think much about yourself and your future? Well, God thinks much more. His thoughts about you are more than can be numbered. They are uncountable. If your plans were not fulfilled and want to say, "Why, God," and show how beautifully you had planned your life, just remember how higher are His plans for yours. Remember that His thoughts for you are more than can be numbered, and these are thoughts of peace and not evil. If there was something the Lord didn't bless, it's not because He overlooked you, nor because He doesn't love you, but because it was not His perfect and acceptable will for your life. His will and plans for you are indeed perfect. To conclude, certainly it is not wrong to make plans. However, do make sure that in your plans and in your attitude towards them, you add the God willing condition, or as Christ said, "Not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:39. When I read this, there are a couple lovely, wonderful people that I just love and adore that I think that they would lean on this. And I think the Holy Spirit is telling me that I need to speak this right now. There's a certain individual I'm not going to name, but this person is a woman. She's never been married. She's never obviously bared any children. And she's getting up there in age. And she is thinking, you know, that maybe she's just not worthy, or that God just didn't want this for her, and how her dream of being a mom and being a wife and living a wonderful family loving unit is just not in the cards for her. And she feels like it's a curse. She feels like it's just not meant to be. And when I look at her, she could in some ways blame this on God. It's, you know, "Why, God? Why was this not available to me?" And I've seen this in more than just this one person. I've seen this with people that I've come in contact with, that they are blaming it on God, or blaming it that God doesn't want that for them, when really I'm not seeing them doing the planning. I'm not seeing them making efforts in the positive realm to put themselves in a position to maybe have that person come into their lives. If a person sits back and doesn't do anything and then complains about nothing happening, is that God's fault? And then I've had another person that say, "Well, if God really wants Mr. Charming, then he'll have them knock on my door. I can stay inside my four walls, in my house, very comfortable and, you know, just in there watching TV or whatever I'm doing. And if God really wants Mr. Wright to appear, then he will have that person knock on my door. And I am saying, is it wrong to go out in the world to make plans and to put yourself out there a little bit? Put yourself out there, clean yourself up, get a haircut, put some makeup on, and actually make yourself presentable to maybe, you know, to have that person notice you. Is that wrong? Is it wrong? I don't think so. Now, people might object to this, and if you do, please contact me. I would love to have the dialogue with you. I really would. But I believe that if you want something, you need to go for it. You make the plans, and yes, God willing. But we have to do our part. He gave us our ears and our eyes and our hands and our feet and our brains and our hearts for a reason. And I think he wants us to use our gifts. And if we stay just cuddled up in our own little cocoon where it's comfortable, but yet we're not happy or we're not joyful or we just don't feel everything that God has for us, then maybe we need to break out of that cocoon. We can be there for a time because sometimes we need that for healing. But if we stay there too long and we don't break out of that cocoon, what happens? So I'm just bringing this up because maybe that's you. Maybe you need to just brush yourself off and realize that, you know, as long as we have breath, we have hope. And we need to understand that we need to do our part. We can't just sit back and just expect God to just create those miracles when really we can help him. We don't have to take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. But we need to do our part. And our body is our temple, right? And we need to take care of this temple. So if you have any affliction, if you have anything, any addiction, anything that obsessive, compulsive, any of those things, check it. Check it at the door. You know, call it out. Identify it. And do something about it in the positive realm. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, realizing who you are in Christ, that you are victorious. You're a conqueror. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador for Christ. Those are just what? How many of those? 4 or 5? I don't know. I'm not reading them. They're just in my head. There's plenty more. There's 3 pages of scriptures that tell you who you are according to Christ. Now, if there's 3 pages of scriptures, it must be pretty important to him for you to know just how valuable you are to him. He died for you. Doesn't get much more sacrificial than that, does it? And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Yikes, that sounds hard, but don't worry. It doesn't end there. When we commit our lives to Christ and let him take control, he not only reveals to us the things we should let go of, but he is with us every step of the way. Are there things in your life that you need to let go of? I can remember a time, a long time ago, where I had to let go of sins that I had committed that made me feel unworthy, that put me in isolation to where I couldn't experience relationships the way he wanted me to. And so he had to come and cleanse me clean, white as snow, and I had to understand that he forgave me and that his grace is sufficient for me. And his grace and his forgiveness is sufficient for you. And he says that in the level that you forgive, you too shall be forgiven. That's key, isn't it? So if you are holding unforgiveness in your heart for somebody on the outside or for your own self, because sometimes it's most difficult to forgive yourself, and we do things to numb ourselves of the pain of unforgiveness and unworthiness, and those things are just that, they're numbers. They're not going to help heal. They just numb you for a time. And it's not a good thing long term. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's in Matthew 28:20. God's intent is not that we would live a life of discontent, sorrow, and shattered dreams. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. My purpose meaning not my purpose, but God's purpose. John 10:10, if you want to look it up. A life worth living is a life with Christ. After all, it is the life each of us was created to live. There is nothing more fulfilling than living inside God's will. Would that be holy? Yes. I have friends that tell me that they're comfortable with me, even in their world. And they say, Sue, you know what's nice about you is that I don't feel judged by you. I feel loved by you. And I don't have to totally clean up my act that you still accept me for where I am, who I am, and what I am. You don't throw and cram scriptures down my throat. You don't try to correct me every step of the way. And you know what? God doesn't do that either. Yes, he wants us to be in his likeness. He wants us to live a righteous life. He wants us to be more like him every day. And he does what he does, and the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does. And it's in his timing, not my timing. He calls me to love thy neighbor as thyself. And how do you love? You love by being sacrificial. You serve others. You put others before yourself. Have I got this all worked out? Am I perfect? No. Do I have faults? Absolutely. Do I fall short of the glory of God? Yes, I do. But I also know his grace is sufficient. And I say this because you need to know this too, if you want to live this life, because otherwise you're going to hammer yourself every minute of every day, because we will fall short. That's why his grace is there. He knew it was necessary, didn't he? If you're tuning in right now, thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5 FM. And we are in San Diego. We are all the way up and down the coast. Everywhere Ecola is, we are there too. And with the internet and with podcasts that you can get, all of them for 7.5 years, by going to SueFreeze.com. You can go to iTunes and find us. It's so wonderful that that's available to everybody all over the place. It's just beyond, beyond amazing to me that you can find the Sue Free Show anywhere on the internet. It's great. A life worth living is a life with Christ. After all, it is the life each of us was created to live. There is nothing more fulfilling than living inside God's will. Do you want this rich and satisfying life? That's the question. If so, what are some other things that you can do to let God take the wheel? I like Jesus take the wheel, but God take the wheel. Fully obey. Now, that's not easy all the time, is it, to obey? We have this inside spirit, you know, this rebellious sometimes. We want to do it our way, not his way. But he's saying to fully obey. Oftentimes God tells us to do things that don't seem logical or normal. Sometimes he commands us to take a plunge at something we are completely new to. And it can be scary. I'll tell you something scary. For the 4th of July, I went to the Rose Bowl. And I went with a friend of mine. His name is Steve. And he has a tandem bike. Now, I've never really ridden a tandem bike before, so that was fun. It was dark, so we were riding a bike in the dark, tandem. Okay, let me tell you. The person on the back does not have any brakes and has no control over steering or anything. You can't stop pedaling. You can't brake. You have to totally trust the person that's in the driver's seat. So if you want to experience God's will and Jesus and let him take the wheel, try riding a tandem bike on the 4th of July, Rose Bowl. Okay, cars everywhere, drinking happening, dark. Wow. And I'm here. I'm alive. Thank you, God. I'm alive. And I have to tell you, it was a big, big trust issue. It was a lesson. And I tell you, it was amazing. So I'd say it was something new for me. It was a bucket list item that I can check off now. And the Rose Bowl is a great place to watch fireworks. That was scary. Talking about scary. Nonetheless, whenever God tells you to do something, do it. Be diligent. Follow through. It can be something as simple as praying and reading your Bible each morning, to something as radical as leaving your job or serving as a missionary on a faraway country. Whichever the case, don't try to find a middle ground between your current desires and God's will. Half obedience is disobedience. Ooh. In the Bible, we can see what can happen if we don't obey God. The result isn't pretty. In 1 Samuel, God told Saul, a young man whom the Israelites chose as king, to destroy the Amalekites and their possessions. Saul did, sort of. He kept all the sheep and oxen instead of getting rid of them as God had commanded him. He did not follow God's word all the way. To make it worse, instead of acknowledging that he had indeed disobeyed, Saul started justifying his actions. Oh, we never do that, do we? Saul said to him, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen, which I hear? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than to fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Ouch. Saul's acts of disobedience cost him his crown. Oftentimes we hinder God's blessings for our lives because of this one thing. Obedience is key. Either we are following the Lord or we are not. Is there anything God has told you to do that you've been half obeying? Should I take a second for you to think about that? Expect warfare. The Christian life is perfect, not contrary to popular belief. We are actually called to expect trials and warfare. As we get closer to God, we are a bigger threat to the enemy. So he's going to do anything possible to make us fall. You know, this is so true. And I know that when I'm getting towards a breakthrough, or I'm getting to a place that God really wants me to break through or to help others, there is more opposition than there is when I'm just trailing through a day. Even as simple as getting to church as a mother, when I had young children, I found that I had the biggest difficulty getting my kids dressed, fed, change the diapers, get everybody in the car to get to church. And I knew that the times when it was the most difficult to get my family in that car and to church were the times that I most importantly needed to be sitting there or serving because of an appointment or because of a message that the Lord really needed me to hear for that next breakthrough, preparing me for the next appointment. So whenever you're feeling opposition, this is you right now, the stronger the opposition, push through it, because there is glory on the other side. There is a blessing ready to happen, whether it's for you or somebody that you know. There's something going to happen, and the devil doesn't want it to happen. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we are not strong with Christ, life circumstances will take us off guard and can knock us off our feet. Nevertheless, if we cling to God, he holds us. I don't know about you, but I want to cling to God because I want him to hold me. How about you? The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Psalm 37:23-24. We are called to be vigilant, to remain constantly in prayer, read the word, and get together with other believers. We have to seek him daily. I suggest you do that. You know, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just telling you what he's suggesting that you do, because it will change your life. I always wanted the Lord to tell me what to do to make my life better, to where I could be a better mother, a better wife, a better sister, a better friend. God, just tell me what to do. So when I'm reading things or I'm suggesting what he's telling you, it's because I wanted someone to tell me what to do so I could have a better life, so I could be a better person for those that I come in contact with, to be a blessing to those that I am in front of. So I hope you don't take offense to when I say you need to, or we have to, seek him daily. You know, I'm meaning this from my heart, that I know what it's done for me to seek him daily. and to pray without ceasing. And I'm hoping that you understand my heart in all of this, is that, yeah, I want to strive for excellence and I want to be successful. But more importantly, for me, it's important that I make a difference, that those I come in contact with, that there's significance in my life. When I am where Joanne is, God rest her soul, is that I'm hoping that those that I leave behind say that they were a better person because they knew me, and that I was a light in maybe some of their darkness. Because the outcome, the goal at the end, is did our life matter for anything? Does your life matter? Are you making a difference in anyone's life? These are the things that will help you get your act together, to get your life more holy. Thank you, Jan, for that. To be more holy is to be more like him. And he gave us a purpose. He created us for a purpose. And whether you're a businesswoman or a businessman, a leader, a follower, a mother, wherever your position is, do it to the best of your ability and to do it with God's will in your life. God, what do you want me to do? That's the question. Therefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The good part, God promises to give us peace in the midst of trials and uncertainty, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:4, 4:5, 4:6, 4:7. Read those. They will help you in your life. Until next week, be a blessing. Read your Bible. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This has been the Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.